And welcome once again to Capitol Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me on the program, your Capitol Watch All-Stars, Rebecca Euler, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association. Rebecca, thanks for being on the show.
Great to be with you again, Dave.
And my main man, Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation. Steve, thanks so much for being here.
Fantastic to be here, David.
So we're here in the immediate aftermath of the election, and it looks like America did not fall out of a coconut tree. That former President Donald Trump will be returning to the White House, having won a very convincing victory both in the Electoral College and by winning an outright majority in the popular vote. Haven't had that for a Republican since 2004, and that Pennsylvania was part of his victory. He won the so-called blue wall states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
And the economic policy we've been talking about so much over the past several months proved to be so key to this whole the whole result that we saw last night at the polls. It's a time where people have been worried about the economy. They've made it very well known to those in power that they were worried about the economy, that they were hurting. And you know, some candidates at their own peril decided to ignore that message. Others ran to it because it fit their agenda, and they succeeded tremendously. And I think we're going to see a wave of positive economic measures taken that will help to restore the prosperity and the sense of anything's possible. I can make something of my life here in the United States of America because it's a free economy where the citizen can get involved and ultimately have an influence.
Yeah, I mean, and Rebecca, that the burden that the Biden-Harris administration put on the economy, you know, of course, massive inflation triggering overspending, throttling back on domestic energy production, but also engaging in massive regulatory overkill, that now there's hope that those things will be reversed.
Yeah, I really do think Trump, as he was running, put a huge emphasis on the burden of that regulatory state that we have that really does put a damper on business. And that played right into what we were just talking about, what Steve just said about the economic issues being paramount, because we know exit polls showed that was by far the biggest issue. And we know Pennsylvanians felt it over these past couple of years. And they definitely heard that from the Trump side. And the regulatory issues we know are big in Pennsylvania as well. So I know a lot of our small businesses and our mom and pops, our Main Street businesses, were definitely burdened by those regulations and by the economic policies of the past 4 years. So that definitely was what we saw with the vote.
It was all the way down the ballot that, along with Donald Trump winning Pennsylvania and our 19 electoral votes, that although the margin was very close, that businessman Dave McCormick at this hour is ahead of incumbent U.S. Senator Bob Casey. And it's probably going to go to a recount because it's so close. But at this moment, Dave is ahead, that the GOP has taken the majority in the U.S. Senate, that Senator Sherrod Brown in Ohio has been defeated, and so that the Republicans will have at least 52 seats in the upper chamber, and that and it may be that Dave McCormick is going to join them.
Yeah, that's an amazing result. I mean, the president is going to need the Senate to back him up on a lot of the policies he's been talking about. And of course, for a judicial appointment and to confirm his cabinet as well. So that Senate majority is going to be very, very important for him to get all of the policies done that he's promised and he's working on to really rejuvenate the economy and get America moving again.
And I think it's fair to say that many observers really truly thought that the Bob Casey hold on that U.S. Senate slot was something that could never be taken away from him. And, you know, he'd had it for decades. He'd previously been in other offices for decades before that. And it seemed so permanent, and that name Bob Casey seemed so magical in its power to ward off any opponents that were serious and able to actually form a campaign that could capably beat him. It finally happened. And it's very unexpected. And obviously, like you said, there's a little bit of counting left to do. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but it appears that McCormick has won that seat, and truly historic to think about Bob Casey being booted out of the Senate.
Yeah, and I'm very grateful to Dave McCormick that he took a pro-growth and especially a pro-energy message to the voters that we want prosperity, we want family-sustaining jobs, we want a strong tax base. These are the sorts of things that energy production and all of the industry that would be powered by that energy, these are things that are deliverable. And so anyway, but yes, we'll see how that plays out. But in the U.S. House, a similar story where two incumbent Pennsylvania Democrats were defeated and will not be returning. That in northeastern Pennsylvania around Scranton, that Representative Matt Cartwright was defeated by businessman Rob Bresnahan. And in the Lehigh Valley, that Representative Susan Wild was defeated by State Representative Ryan McKenzie. And while the Lehigh Valley, will I'm sure continue to be a battleground, that Scranton-based seat, I have confidence that Rob Bresnahan is going to be there for a good long while.
Yeah, those are tough ones to win once someone is elected to that seat. And I don't think it was shocking that those two seats were picked up by the Republicans, but certainly surprising.
I mean, because Cartwright had survived challenges in previous cycles. But I do think that part of that dynamic was no longer having Joe Biden at the top of the ticket, where he could claim kinship with the Scranton area because that was where he was born and grew up, and certainly also that President Biden's longtime affinity with organized labor was something else that bought a lot of goodwill by people in that area. So by swapping him out for the San Francisco liberal, that I think that was probably one of the important factors with, leading to that change.
Yeah, I also think we're seeing a change in voter registration trends, and especially in that area, there definitely has been a rise in Republican voter registrations, compared to historical trends. And so that, I think, probably was a big factor there, too. We've seen sort of that happen in Western Pennsylvania, where we've had a lot of sort of the blue dog Democrats have been changing over to Republicans. And that is also happening in that northeastern part of Pennsylvania, I think, as well. So, yeah.
And I think this is part of the transformation that that Donald Trump has led. That as he has emphasized, hard hat jobs for working people, reshoring manufacturing, and taking care of our people first. I think that's a message that resonates with those ancestral blue collar Democrats like you have in northeastern PA. And and then I guess the last race is that my friend U.S. Representative Scott Perry here in the mid-state, that he was targeted by national leftists, and that they used the candidacy of news anchor Janelle Stelson as a stalking horse. And despite having endured, I think, $6 million worth of negative ads, that Congressman Perry has prevailed and that he will return to represent the mid-state in the U.S. House. I think that's a very significant victory that, he took absolutely everything that the other side could dish out and that he's still standing.
He was a national target for sure. So that is very, very good thing that he was able to.
And running behind for a good part of the night. It depended on, of course, where those returns came from.
Yes.
And at the end, it turned out the bulk of the ones that were still outstanding were from York County, which is where
this is home.
Congressman Perry's home is. And he did extremely well with that last batch of voters.
So looking at the getting away from the federal stuff and getting back to Pennsylvania specific races, the Republicans swept the three statewide row offices. That Dave Sunday, the York County District Attorney, will be Pennsylvania's new Attorney General. Incumbent Auditor General Tim DeFore and incumbent State Treasurer Stacey Garrity both handily won re-election in their races.
And that's a little surprising because that doesn't happen very often. And it's been quite some time since the Republicans last had an attorney general elected. So there's some history that was made there with the sweep or running the table of the statewide row offices. And those are, they don't have the high glamour of some of the other offices that you hear about, but those offices have a tremendous impact on daily life. And in particular, the attorney general's office is key. Obviously, it's the state's chief law enforcement office, and it is setting the tone for the kind of policing that will be done in the state of Pennsylvania in the coming years, and who gets prosecuted and who doesn't, and who gets investigated and who doesn't. And with an outstanding candidate like David Sunday now as the Attorney General, I think we're going to see some serious reforms and some interesting things happening.
Yeah, and refocusing on the core functions of that office. You've seen some of his predecessors try to expand the envelope of exactly what the AG's
and
office
using,
goes after.
Using even offenses related to building pipelines as the sort of thing to investigate as a criminal activity when it's literally an administrative dispute with administrative licensing agencies.
Yes. So we're looking forward to having fewer of those kinds of abuses and more of actual traditional law enforcement. You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Steve Bloom from Commonwealth Foundation and Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association. So this is going to recatalyze Pennsylvania and the way Harrisburg operates. And I would have to think that this would be a real break on the authority of Governor Shapiro, that having an attorney general of the party opposite would be potentially a curb on some of the governor's more ambitious goals for, you know, using executive power. And looking at the composition of the legislature in the state Senate, that in our 50-seat chamber, that the Republicans will go into the next session with their 28-22 majority intact. They lost one seat in Dauphin County, but picked up another in northeastern Philadelphia. And in the state House, which has been very close at 102 Democrats to 101 Republicans, it's Groundhog Day all over again, as we're sitting here, that the count is 101 Republicans to 101 Democrats, and one race outstanding, and that's in Cambria County. And because of misfires with the polling machines on election day, that provisional ballots had to be cast, and that those are now being translated onto scannable ballots to be counted. And so we'll have those results in the coming day or so. But the balance of power, hangs. It's still up in the air.
And almost a bit odd with the result, just given the fact that it was a night. The election was a night of so many changes made across the Commonwealth and across the country. Everything seemed to be changing, shifting. People who weren't expected to get elected got elected. Some who were thought would be reelected were not. And then you look at the Pennsylvania legislature and you see the Senate coming back with the exact same majority that it had, mm-hmm. the 28-22 that you mentioned, and the Pennsylvania House coming back to a situation we don't know, as we talk about this here today, we don't know the result there for sure, but we know one way or the other, one party is going to have 102 and the other 101 votes in the Senate, or seats in the House, and that leaves it exactly where it was. Other than the possibility that Republicans might have that 102nd vote rather than a... Yeah.
And there's another race in Philadelphia where the Republican candidate is just a few votes behind, and that may also go down to a recount. So that we'll see where that turns out. So, I mean, the most it would be 103 to 100, but still very close. And I just think that that's testament to the gerrymander of the maps, that the way that the Supreme Court took away the power of redistricting from the legislature and the governor, and just handed it over to one person of their choosing, who then drew the maps, and that it locked in these partisan advantages where, you have races that are, just unassailable because of the way things got drawn. So time will tell. We'll see how it goes. But again, I'm not sure how we view this as anything other than you know, a real setback for Governor Shapiro, that, you know, he had wanted to take the state Senate, to have a legislature of his party so that he could enact his agenda. And now for sure that's not going to happen. And if anything, he may have, you know, a steeper challenge with the PA House going to the party.
And that's going to be important with the governor, who talks a lot about being reasonable and wants to compromise, but in the end has often actually chosen not to compromise. It could bring some changes to that relationship in terms of the dynamics, and hopefully put some pressure on Governor Shapiro to do some of the things he talked about back on the campaign trail mm-hmm. 2 years ago, including yep. implementing large-scale school choice agendas and regulatory reform.
Accelerating the phase down of the capital,
reducing
the corporate
taxes, yeah. all those things that he talked about and gave lip service to and either didn't touch at all or only touched in a small way.
So with the, you know, looking at these results, looking at, you know, changes in voter performance, looking at changes in voter registration, you know, it makes me wonder whether our, you know, elected officials will actually think about what this expression of the public will means, whether we'll have a focus more on the kinds of everyday kitchen table issues that, you know, clearly the public has been concerned about. A lot of people saying that the country was on the right track, on the wrong track, excuse me, and the Commonwealth, of course, with it. You know, will we have an upcoming legislative session? Will we have an upcoming budget proposal from the governor that focuses more about you know, relief for everyday Pennsylvanians who are faced with inflation, higher costs across the board, higher costs for gasoline, higher costs for utilities and heating and cooling, and those. Because it's like a lot of people, again, we got to remember, a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck. A lot of people are just trying to make it to the end of the month. And with the loss of purchasing power that people still feel very profoundly because of the inflation that was let loose by the politicians in Washington, you know, I would think that the focus would be on what can we do in terms of public policy to improve the economy, encourage growth, expand production, and lower costs for consumers.
And it reminds you of the phrase that former President Clinton used of, it's the economy, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And it still applies today, decades later. And we saw it in these results. The voters cared deeply about the economic issues. And that's what drove the turnout and drove the way they voted.
Because again, it's the, I mean, it's only after all of those immediate personal needs and concerns are satisfied that you can, you know, go on to be interested in wider ranging, you know, societal issues or what have you. But when you're having difficulty paying your bills, putting food on the table, that, you know, that brings things into very sharp focus. So, Rebecca, what do you see coming down the road?
As you were talking there about the economic issues, I sort of came back to where we started, is that those kitchen table issues, those ones that brought people out to vote for the Trump ticket, were the exact ones that the Harris ticket seemed not to speak to at all. And that, I think that's the difference, because you just mentioned that those economic issues, if you can't put food on your table every month, you're not worried about all those other issues. And so I think the Harris campaign was really focused on all those other issues and just did not speak to those economic issues. So so that's where we are. That's where how we ended up with the result we did. And so where do we go from here? And I think you're right, is I think this was as close as we can get in today's, you know, political world to a mandate. I don't know that, you know, we're ever going to in the near future have a solid mandate. But in this case, I think this result was an amazing, you know, mandate as far as we can go, that economic issues are paramount and that the people want to see the government focused on freeing up the economy, policies that encourage growth, investment in The economic conditions that will make the country thrive.
In our country.
In our country and in our state. So exactly what you were talking about, investment in manufacturing here in our country, investment in energy in our country. And those are the things that won this election for Donald Trump. And I think that that's where we're headed. So I hope that over the next couple of months, we can coalesce around those specific policies and start moving forward.
And of course, because Vice President Harris was defeated, and that former president, soon to be President Trump, can only serve one term, that means that in 4 years' time that we'll be electing a new president, which of course keeps alive the dreams of Governor Shapiro, who was, you know, a finalist for the second slot on the Democrat national ticket this time around. So anyway, lots of drama, lots of intrigue. It's going to take us a while to figure out the implications, all the implications of exactly what happened in this last election. But for now, it's a resounding victory for Donald Trump, for Pennsylvania Republicans, and we'll see what comes next. So sorry, we're almost out of time, but it's great to have you guys here. Steve, where can the listeners go to learn more about you and your organization and the things that you do?
They can visit commonwealthfoundation.org on the internet.
Excellent. And Rebecca, where can people find out more about the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association?
They can find us at pmta.org.
Outstanding. And as ever, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org. And to all of you, from Steve and Rebecca and me, thanks for listening. And we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.